Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I'm not false advertising here, but he cried when I did it. But we were young, okay?
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It is me, Eric Williams, coming at you live from Florida. This week, we have Julian Bozinski, the TikTok internet phenom, as a really gorgeous guest, not only on the pod, but he also did the live show last week as one of our gay ass himbos. It's a big Julian week for me, and I hope you are feeling some jealousy. If I'm being so honest with you, I took a hit of my marijuana pen 2.5 minutes ago, and I haven't smoked all week, and I feel insane in a good way, but if that's coloring any of this,
that is why.
What am I talking about? I'm back. We're talking about Julian is this week's guest. He's got 3 million followers. It is fully bonkers. And I'm just so excited for you to hear this conversation. But I do want to tell you all that the show last week was great. Just so good. All the guests like were God tier. And thank you all for literally making it a standing room only show. Fully sold out. People were in a line out the door to get in. Like,
this is what dreams are made of.
I just want to tell you a quick Florida story. I know that there are a lot of gays in Florida, and if you're listening, I support you, I love you, and I'm doing my part by flirting with all the straight dads while I'm here, and fuck are they hot. So let me know if there's anything else I can do, but I think I'm really working hard. Now, last night, we're at this restaurant, and the really cute bartender, who I don't think was gay, he over-poured a drink he was making, which we later found out, because he set 2 little cups down. Mind you, I was with Matt and his parents, but he went just to me and Matt, set us down these orange creamsicle cosmopolitans and said, hey, I overpoured. Here you go. And at first I was like, this feels like a drink version of him calling me faggot. But I do think I just knew that we were like young people. And he probably knew we were gay, but he was being nice and he had leg tattoos, which looked great. So I forgave him. But again, tales from Florida. If you do not yet have your tickets for That's a Gay Ass Live show in New York City, it is 8 days away. It is Thursday the 29th, and I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be epic. I mean, listen to the lineup. Grossi Pelosi, Emma Willman, Kevin Zach, the Dragon Sisters, Good Children, Garrett Williams, Edson Montenegro, Millie Tamaras, just fucking phenomenal. The link is in the description, and there's a link for the Gay Ass Podcast live recording in New York City on January 28th with Brian Derrick, the political hot tea. So it's not to be missed. The tickets are really cheap. It's $10 and it's at the JCC. Are you kidding? I think I'm going to be extra filthy just because it'll feel like a healing moment, you know, to like fully embrace all sides of me, big Jew, big horny gay. Now, speaking of being a big horny gay, let's get into this episode with Julian Bozinski. We not only talk about the time he interviewed the stars of Book Club, we talk about his appearance in the Idina Menzel music video that just came out, and he has a gorgeous first time having sex story that I'm excited for you to hear. If you enjoy this podcast, leave a 5-star review. We've gotten some really great notes lately, and I would love to read yours too. Enjoy this app. Get your tickets for That's a Gay Ass Live Show, Gay Ass Podcast recording that's live on the 28th and the 29th, and I'll see you there. Listen up, y'all, because this is it. Julian Bozinski is this week's hit guest. We'll work on it. Julian, thanks for coming on the Gay Ass podcast. What an honor to have you here.
It's an honor to be here and an honor to be gay as hell as well.
Folk, yeah, bitch. Speaking of honors, when you said yes to doing That's a Gay Ass live show as one of our in-house himbos, I told you at the show, but it was a dream come true. C-U-M. Thank you so much for doing the show. The first question I have for you is, who was the biggest bitch backstage?
Oh my gosh. Truly nobody. I guess maybe the biggest bitch was probably my jean shorts because my ass was eating them the entire time.
Your ass was a fucking Kuntosaurus.
Yeah, she always makes sure she's the star of the party. So
you agree you've always had a big ass?
Yes, I actually played soccer until high school. So I think that's where it kind of came from, that and eating cookies, because those are my favorite food, for sure.
Cookies and a soccer bottom bitch. Well, you truly killed it at the show, and I'm not joking, to quote-unquote cast the himbos for that show. For anybody who hasn't seen the show yet, it's basically like we have two gorgeous men twerk on stage and then have to be voted as the himbo of the night and then do a winning lap dance at the end of the show. And I'm not joking, a lot of people say no because they're like, I have stage fright, or just to be like ogled on stage by a room of people. That's scary. Were you scared at all? Because you didn't seem to be.
Not really, only because, so I lived in New York before the pandemic for about 6 months before everything hit, and I used to go to this show called Soaked, and it was like three drag queens, Laguna Blue, Rosé, and Lemon. And they had a portion of the show where you got up on stage, two people did, and did like lap dances, and there was like a spinning wheel and things like that. And one of my most favorite memories is doing a lap dance for Laguna Blue. But I had only underwear on, like, and I kept going back. So like, I went on stage a bunch, and I know I love being on stage. So it, and you know, showing my what I can do. So
my what I can do, aka your big sour soccer playing ass. So you really like kind of honed your craft in New York City for a few months, moved to the West Coast, and the rest is history.
Yes, on that front. I mean, before I did study musical theater, so like I've been on stage before.
I took a deep sigh as I hear musical theater because, you know, I think you and I might have similar trajectories. The only difference is that you are now a media mogul who has grown a Kardashian-style epic content farm. And I mean that with the most respect imaginable.
Thank you.
I've been following you for a long time, and I think my entree was probably your Miss Congeniality video where you did "You One in a Million." Mm. Do a lot of people say that to you? Was that a lot of people's first for you, or were you? What do people say is their entree?
Yes, definitely Miss Congeniality. A lot is "You Don't Own Me" from First Wives Club.
Yeah.
A lot newer is "Devil Wears Prada," which was this year, and then "Euphoria" was a big one as well.
Which Euphoria scene did you do?
Oh, I did like a huge amount of season 2. I like went to Target. I would watch it at 6 p.m. in LA and go to Target. And everyone's like, "Where do you get the clothes?" I'm like, "At Target." But no plug for Target because obviously we're having trouble. But back then they were fine. And I would get as close of costumes as I could and do it like either that morning or that night. Like literally like screen recording, like trying to get it done.
And then you would record, edit, and just post it ASAP?
Yeah, I would post it the next day, like trying to get them as soon as possible, just because it was so popular. It was just
average shopping trip to Target for one of these videos. You spend how much?
I return sometimes too.
honey, you have to return in this economy. You have to return.
If the AC's on and I'm not sweating through the clothes, then I would return. If it's bad, I would not. But I guess like for those, like, and I have a lot of stuff too. So it depended on what I needed. But I would say probably like 40.
Oh yeah, that's great. I have no shame in saying that I'm a returner. Only recently because I didn't know you could do that until recently. Mm. I worked on a project with a friend where we filmed in Joshua Tree. She wore white jeans. There was wind. There was dust. Those jeans looked fucking filthy, She got them from Nordstrom.
Mm.
She, as any other Jewish mother would say, and she is a Jewish woman, so I can say this, she was like, they will take anything back at Nordstrom. I watch her with my own eyes, return the white jeans covered in desert dirt, and they took it back at Nordstrom. I don't know why. I don't know how, but they did. If you can return, I think you should.
Right. If it's not needed and it can find a better home, that it will be needed more.
Exactly. And honestly, the biggest, I think, risk with that is regretting the return. I have one piece of clothing I wore for a birthday party, a high-waisted women's leather pant last year. I've had so many instances where I thought I could have worn them again, but honey, they were returned days after that party.
And you know what? And then next time you do it, you don't return it.
Exactly. Well, I gotta find those fucking pants.
Oh, blah.
But speaking of stunning Luke's pants and otherwise, I need to address the Idina Menzel Move music video. It's just, I don't know if one might call that your big break, but when I saw she posted it and I recognized you and then you posted it, even though we hadn't met yet, I felt like I was watching a family member on the big screen. Give it to me straight / gay. You get the offer. Did you have to audition? How did we get this? How did we book Dean Z's music vid?
Well, one of my best friends, actually, Nick Laughs, directed it. So we were just doing, I did a show in LA, a Legally Blonde like tribute show.
Yes.
And he put that together in New York as well. And so we did that in New York, brought it to LA the next month. And we actually shot that end of May. So like it was 2 weeks after. The video came out 2 weeks after we had shot it. So it was like super quick. But we did the Legally Blonde and I flew to New York the next day with him and got the chance to dance. And it was
so
super...
she was a straight to offer Idina Menzel music video.
Well, but it was an amazing experience and I was like shitting my pants the entire time.
I was talking about Idina Menzel with for everyone who doesn't know, I'm recording this in Florida right now, staring at Julian's gorgeous face, but I'm here with my husband and his parents. And last night, Idina Menzel came up because I said she was my favorite performer I saw at Pride. There was just something about her set that was just so like sure that had the nostalgia. But also hearing her sing Rent during Gay Pride and from a person who did the original show, like it just to me felt like I was witnessing her story.
Yeah.
And I bring this up because I was like, wait, how old is this woman? Because she is doing this gay bop, which I think Move is a very smart move on her part.
Yeah.
And I was like, how old is she? And so we went around the table and we guessed. Do you know, Julian, how old Idina Menzel is?
I don't want to guess.
I want to say that I don't want to guess.
I think I know, but tell me.
I'm going to edit it out if it's devastating. Give me your number.
52?
She's 52 years old.
Okay,
Julian,
yeah.
Good job.
I did
52.
Know that.
She looks like that. She sounds like that. She's so unbelievably talented and gorgeous. And I don't know. I don't know how she does it. Like, honestly, whoever her dermatologist is.
I mean, sickening. Give me the number.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah, no, she was my favorite at Pride as well.
Yeah.
I thought her set was amazing. The new album, I believe it comes out in August. I know her new single, Dramatic, just dropped.
I
think Friday. But this, like she said in interviews too, it's like her love letter to the LGBTQ+ community, which is really, really amazing. And yeah, to sing Defying Gravity, Frozen, and Rent, I was like, you gave us everything we needed.
Yeah, tens across the board.
Exactly.
It truly was everything. God, there's so many questions for you, Julian, that I like. I've written down all. What I love so much about your work is that you have such taste that I think speaks to what has made me and a lot of people gay. I mean, the list of the videos that you have done, you've done Sex and the City, Broad City, The Hot Chick, which was huge for me. Of course, Legally Blonde, First Wives Club, Mariah Carey. Just like there are so many things that I'm sure have turned you gay, which is why I want to get into that question right now. Julian Brzezinski, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
You know, I was thinking about this question and my first memory really was watching Spice World, which came out 1997. So 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. I was born in 1994. So 3 years after. I don't know if I was three watching it, but
I'm doing the math. Sorry, girly. I'm doing the math. You were born in 94.
I'm 29. If that's weird.
Yeah, thank you for watching the wheel spin for 20 minutes. I'm 29. Okay, so you're 29.
Yes.
So you are just a few years old. Spice World comes out.
Yeah, Spice World, and watching the background dancers come up on the stage, and they're like, cut it. It's too much. And, you know, they were shirtless at first, and I was like, work, like, hot. But then when they come out in the purple, and they turn around and it's just their butts.
Oh, yes, yes.
And they're so, like, tan and, like, oiled up. And it's the Spice World at that time, like, Baby Spice was my, like, end all be all. Like, I was just, like, needed. I had those suckers with the stickers.
Yeah. Did you consider yourself a Baby Spice if you had to cast yourself?
I would. I would say now. Yeah. I would say Baby Spice mixed with Posh.
Oh, she's got some Posh in her, some Victoria.
Yeah, with some Posh moments for sure. But I would say that and just like 90s rom-coms, really. Like when I would come home from like middle school or just anytime, whenever the bullying started, like I have two sisters as well.
Older or younger?
Older. So I'm the youngest. My parents and my family, my sister, one of my sisters is also a lesbian. And
are you a lesbian?
Well.
I'm kidding.
She's also very gay.
I'm being a cunt because I'm in Florida. Can you paint a picture for us where in the world you grew up?
Yes, I grew up in Naperville, Illinois.
Oh my God. See, I'm not joking. I was going to say Ohio because you have such like a kind Midwesterness, which is probably also why I feel connected to you. Naperville, Illinois. So I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, so I don't think that is where is Naperville? Is that close to Chicago?
Yeah, it's like an hour away.
Okay. So she has the Midwestern vibes, maybe big city. You've got two sisters, one is gay,
yes,
and the other one is straight.
Yes.
And now I need to know everything. Which sister is gay, middle or oldest?
Middle.
Okay, so the gays keep gaying. Okay, yeah. So I do think statistically speaking, I've heard that a lot of boys who have multiple sisters end up gay. I'm sure there's something science-y. Mm. It's like the same thing with twins, which I debunk that because my twin isn't very not gay. But your sisters were probably, I hope, so, like such rocks for you while you were getting bullied.
For sure. Yeah, at that time, I think like me and my middle sister, growing up, we kind of butted heads the most.
Yeah.
But I also think that, but we're, you know, we're also close now, so, which I love so much. But I think she was finding herself too. She was older. She was in,
of course,
you know, so I think we were both kind of unhappy figuring out who we were. And I think that's why we did butt heads so much, because we knew what to like say to each other to really hurt each other's feelings. And
how close are you in age?
I'm 28. She's 32.
Yeah, so that's like only a few years. So yeah. I think that it's having siblings is harder than a lot of people actually are open about, because I think especially I can even see it with you as adults, you respect your siblings, you have history with your siblings, and you don't want to disrespect or harm, you know, the like legacy of your family. But when you're a fucking 12-year-old kid, it can be awful to not only be a 12-year-old, but to also have siblings who are also feeling awful.
Exactly. And now, and I agree, like, I don't ever, now we've grown up, am I still petty? Yeah, I can still be petty towards them, like, because they're my sisters. But yeah, growing up, they were always there for me. My parents were always there for me. I kind of, like, tried to shut that in, though. I didn't want that to ever be a conversation until, like, I think the school called home and said something, because at that point, I think that was in, isn't this crazy, second grade, I was the first time I remember being called gay. And then my two best, I say this now, but in second grade, my two best girlfriends, who were like my two best friends, left a note on my desk being like, we can't be friends with you because you're gay. And I didn't even really, like, at that point, I really didn't even know what it meant. But I, you know, obviously it affected me, and I got talked to because I was being mean. Like, they called me up and was like, that I had been mean to them or like somebody else who said it or anything, and they called home because I got in trouble for it.
To say you were being mean.
That I was being mean.
Your two girlfriends had put on your locker that we cannot be friends with you because you are gay. What? So do you think one of the girls said something to a teacher or something?
Yeah. I don't know if I ignored or like what I did, but I know it was, I know the, I will never forget the one guy's name who first said it to me. But yeah, I think it was just like a big thing around the classroom. And then I don't know what I had done to make her think I was being mean or anything.
But, I mean, I'm pissed on your behalf.
Yeah. I mean, like, anything, good. Like, I'm glad I was mean if I was, but I don't think
you
I really
and
was.
You fucking should have been. And, yeah. And I'm sure you weren't. And I'm sure you were reacting to the people that you loved that were your friends who, like, publicly and cruelly.
Yeah.
Stopped a friendship because of who you are. I mean, listen, this comes up so much because I think we are healing as adults. And I think what you are doing is probably, whether you acknowledge it or not, is like a healing part of your past, which is like being so unapologetic. And this Brené Brown video came up that someone posted that was basically saying how as a kid, you have all of these ways to protect yourself, right? All these defense mechanisms. And then as an adult, especially right now, whereas I'm in my, you know, early to mid 30s, you're only a few years younger, we learn how those protective mechanisms aren't helping us anymore. And they're actually keeping us from living a full life. And it's no fucking wonder that we feel the need to protect ourselves because of stuff like that. You were blamed for being treated horribly.
Yeah.
So then how did your parents react to that?
Well, yeah, we got the call home, and that was the first time, you know, my mom had even heard of it because I hadn't said anything. But, you know, they always were like, we love you no matter what. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And again, I truly was like, I don't even know what that means. Like, I knew I had an idea, but like in second grade, I'm kind of just like,
You're like, I don't know what that means. Can we watch Spice World?
Exactly. I'm like, put it on. But that was that was my coping. Like, I would come home and watch these rom-coms, like all these movies, and like, that would be like my escape to what I was like dealing with at school or even like just in life at that time. Like, I would just come home and watch these, and some movies that I probably shouldn't have watched, but you know, I'm so thankful that I did because they provided that escape and like that inspiration that like I knew I wanted to be like that. Like, I wanted to perform. I wanted to like create this safe space. And that's why I started making the videos. Like, during the pandemic, it was a huge nostalgic, the first week I was just like rewatching these movies that I had remembered that had made me feel like safe and like made me forget about what was happening in my life. But in 2020, what was happening in the world, and just kind of like staying in those like, you know, 2 hours of just like escapism, and then realizing that, you know, I could fast track by making some of these fantasies a reality and maybe providing the same like safe space that these movies did, but in a short form content.
Yeah. And you churned it the fuck out. I was saying before we were recording that because your setup right now is so gorgeous and all your videos are so gorgeous, but like we were saying, you had to teach yourself so much of this. And like, it's in a way, people say the entertainment industry, what's like, you know, it's better now because you can create things for yourself, which is true. I'm grateful that we have the ability and the platforms to do this. However, the more difficult part is you have to train yourself. I was Googling yesterday about a certain fucking Final Cut video editing thing because I just couldn't figure it out. And just like, there's so much self-teaching you have to do. And I see your videos and all I can think of after I've lived my life and loved them so much is, how much fucking time did it take for you to edit these? Do you edit all of your videos?
I do, yeah. I do everything by myself.
Okay. Let me take a video for example. here's a great one. I'm gonna start like the technically easier to the more difficult ones. You do one of my favorite recent ones is Drop Dead Gorgeous. You do the Brittany Murphy. I mean, my brother Peter moved to New York and he's living his dream. This is Barbara. You photoshopped your face in the photos. How long had you thought from idea to printing photos to filming to editing did that video take?
I mean, the idea of it, people have wanted me to do Drop Dead Gorgeous for so long, and I love that movie. I just, like, a lot of it I can't do because of the content. But I had just rewatched it last week.
You can't do it because it's too dark?
Just some of the content isn't, like, current. Or the,
oh, I see. Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah.
There is a lot of... There are a lot of scenes that I'm going to
do. I know. I mean, let me
PC,
label it.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm thinking of a scene that would be fun, but, like, you definitely can't do is when they visit the ex-queen in the hospital who's, like, being treated for an eating disorder.
Right.
And, like,
when she's, like, she's like, skinny, not deaf. Like,
she's skinny, Amber, not deaf. Yeah. Like, God, it's such a good line, but I can see how... For a person who has a gigantic audience, a lot of them might not be thrilled to see that being brought back.
Right. But I guess for that morning, I had the wig, I had the shirt, but I printed out. So two of those pictures I had done, like a Chicago moment. So that was just a picture of a video I had done. And then the Barbara one I put my face in. So that took like 10 minutes. And then filming it, a half hour, like not too long. With movies like that too, that I know very well. With like... And Brittany Murphy, I love her. She's just got such a sweet air, and her mannerisms are just so like her. And I love like doing like Uptown Girls or anything she's done before. So like she's just so full of joy. And that really isn't, I think I have so much fun doing characters like hers that the joy isn't really hard to recreate.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think when it comes down to like the actual filming of the videos, I'm sure that's the fun part, and the faster parts is probably just all the like coordination and the editing, because like when you do, I mean, like this, the Miss Congeniality one, the first one I saw, where you're Sandra Bullock, you are all of the other, I was gonna say queens as if they're drag queens, but they essentially are like all the other queens doing the opening number. Like, does editing take you
that's a good amount,
5 hours?
Yeah, 5-6 hours I'd say.
God, I hope the followers, I hope your followers, I know they appreciate you, but for any of them listening right now, we're giving snaps to the time that goes in.
Yeah, thank you.
So then, because you are a musical theater gal, give me one role in high school that people are like, oh my God, Julian was so good as blank in blank.
I guess in college, I'll say college. Lonnie in Rock of Ages, which I like absolutely love, like narrator. And that same year I did play, but now I could never play it again. But I am thankful that I got to play this character, but I am not Jewish. But I did play Leo Frank in Parade.
Hey, listen, I love that you just said that because you're being so considerate and careful, but I'm sure you fucking killed it as Leo.
I had the best time researching and just... I think that character and that show are so special. It's one of my favorite shows ever. And I hope I get to see it in New York. But that was my senior year. I got to do those two. And I think I really...
Where did you go to college?
I went to Elon. And I lived... Oh my God, I meant to tell you, I lived in New York with Madison Johnson. And she
Madison
messaged
Johnson.
Me. And she was like, I listened to the podcast.
God.
I was like, yeah, I'll tell him. So hi Madison, love you.
So I went to high school with Madison Johnson, and we were both theater gals. She was a couple years younger than me, and huge shout out to Madison, who is a star. Oh my God. Elon MT bitch Julian Brzezinski. Okay, so then you played Leo Frank, you had a Rock of Ages moment. Are you I'm telling, my brain is going somewhere, I promise. This is a logical next step in my brain. Our question is, are you single?
I am single, yes.
Okay, so you're single. I think I can, I'm going to at some point be a matchmaker for you, and I'm going to find a nice Jewish boy for you, and then you can regale him with all of your devastating Leo Frank stories that you learned, and then it'll be tales all this time. Do you have a type that you're into when you're dating?
No.
Are you looking to find a relation, or are we enjoying kind of the bopping around?
I am. I just re-downloaded Hinge, which
is... Yes, you did.
Unhinged. But yeah, I am. I think I'm ready. Meeting somebody who just, I don't really have a type, somebody who's like funny and just like kind. And in general, just has like an outlook on life that like is excited to explore new things and also like learn about new things and not just be like so set in like what it is.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, like flexible, spontaneous. Do you, I find it important when in my matchmaking business, which is 0% successful so far, but when I'm asking potential clients, I think it's important when you're dating to try to clarify if you're looking for someone that is more of the, like, not only the planner, but also if you're looking for someone that's like the extrovert that is. When you meet someone new and you're at a party, are they the first person talking or are you the first person talking?
Probably they are.
Okay.
I'm not very...
Which, again, is why we need to find you a Jew, because they're not going to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I get really shy in settings like that, or like flirting. Yeah. I don't have that, like, I think once, maybe a drink or two in, maybe, but like... Yeah, I think someone would come up to me, if anything. I don't know if I would. I wish I would, and I need to work on that, but I would say...
No. You've got your own charm and your own gorgeousness. You do have a video that is a funny video, says you're first time bottoming, and you do that audio clip that's like, at first it was fun.
Yeah.
Then scary. Then fun again. Is that true, that your first time was fun and scary?
Yes, actually, my first time... It was with somebody who is still one of my best friends.
Oh.
And we like flipped, lol. We were so on it. And it was scary. But then after, I think it was more scary topping because I'm not false advertising here, but he cried when I did it. But we were young. Okay,
I'm laughing at the fact that you are trying not to say that you have a monster strong that's like tearing him apart, which I understand the impulse. I mean, listen, that shit's painful at first
for sure, but I think I was more scared in that moment because
you made someone cry.
Yeah, and I had done it, and like it was scary, but we, you know, we did it, and we
now that you're great. Friends, and I'm sure you've been open about this now, do you both have the same sexual inclination position wise, or have you leaned more one on him or the other?
I believe he's more of a bottom.
And I'm
more verse, I would say.
I love that.
Yeah.
2023. I also do hate when people ask that, but I just, the story, I wanted an epilogue to the story. So I'm thank you for indulging that.
No, it's a mood for sure. I mean, there could be like weeks where I'm like, and then wonder, weeks
yeah,
where I'm like,
leaning more. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Like, absolument.
The balance.
Yeah. And the circle of life, if you will.
Right.
Did you, come out while you were still in Naperville, or was it kind of a college moment or post?
So we moved to, luckily, my parents knew through middle school I was pretty miserable. And when I was in eighth grade, my oldest sister had been in college, and then I was graduating eighth grade and my sister was graduating high school. So I actually auditioned for a performing arts high school in Chicago. And my dad worked in the city, like, it all kind of just worked out. And, like, again, luckily I have such amazing parents who, we moved actually into the city, into Wicker Park. And I got to go to high school in the city and study music theater at this high school. And then...
Was everybody gay at that school?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Everyone was really, really just... open to exploring either in like their fashion or just life in general and art. And that was like the best thing that ever happened to me because I was able to like express myself in a way I'd never. So like I was wearing like dance belts and spandex like to school, like 7 a.m. I'm like throwing this thong on, like spandex, like American Apparel, like all that stuff with like headbands and glitter and just like going through school. And you know, it was, I'm so happy I had, the chance to do that because it was just so like freeing and helped me find myself in which ways I, you know, chose to express every part.
Well, and
about
it's such a happy turn of events from the devastating locker moment.
Exactly. So
second grade. I mean, you fucking deserved that. It just breaks my heart when you hear those stories about people like you and I who had moments of being shamed or blamed for being who we are. And I, you know, because I'm with my in-laws right now, this story came up that made me so happy. I will publicly shout them out. my aunt-in-law and uncle-in-law, my mother-in-law's sister, their family is just, it's Mary Beth and Brad. They are so open and excited about whatever their kid is interested in. And they were both, I found this out last night, they were huge athletes, like did like soccer and like swimming in college, like very great athletes. But their kid is like this girl who was just so into the ballet and the dance. And her dad, Brad, said, I guess I'm going to be a dance dad now. And just like, it's like fully leaning in. And that is the way to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's silly that I even have to say that about, you know, a young girl that wants to take her dance classes. But you know, there are parents out there that are still, well, I did this and they need to do this. And it's like, fuck that. It's, would you rather your kid do what you're forcing them to do and then not talk to you after they're 18, or watch them do a pirouette, bitch?
Exactly. And that, I mean, that in itself is a sport. So
hello,
get a gal,
honey. I tried to fouette for years, and I still that foot was sickled, honey.
Oh my, the flat footedness that I still have. Like they're like, point your toes. I'm like, I'm trying.
You're like, I thought I was.
I'm like, they are. No, I totally agree with that too. And she's lucky to have them as well.
She really is, and I'm so glad that you got to have that experience of going to that fame-esque high school in Chicago.
Literally.
Just living your spandex thonged self. But I do need to ask you, Julian Brzezinski, the next famous podcast question, which is, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
This one was hard, and I actually wrote a list. But currently, or just like all in... Like, currently, right now?
I like this question. I like this because you're giving me options. I'm going to say, Julian, the answer is, I want all time, like, you think about your life from 1994 to now. You take the average adoration towards the character actresses, and you got to choose the one for your lifespan. Who is it?
I'd probably say Drew Barrymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
She, and you know what's so funny is because that could go either way. I'm thinking like if you were going like just current or otherwise, like she's so in the zeitgeist now, deservedly so. And I was like, deservably? I sound like Ramona Singer. But she, there's going to be some people asking, is she a character actress? And I'm going to say because she did Grey Gardens, she is.
Oh, I definitely think Josie Grossi is character. I think 50 First Dates is character.
Listen, people feel a certain way about Adam Sandler, and 50 First Dates slaps.
And she, like, I will say Never Been Kissed is like my all-time favorite movie.
Yes.
I will watch that like on a bad day, and like things will change. So like
you've done Never Been Kissed for one of your videos. Yeah,
I've done a couple. I've done one of my favorites, actually. I did the where she's going to prom with the braces and Nicole, and my parents actually there's like, I have a behind the scenes kind of video there, but like my dad was, or my mom was throwing the egg at my face. And my mom, like, I think she did it two or three times, but she wasn't throwing hard enough. So like the egg would just hit me and kind of just like break on the ground. And my dad's like, I'll do it. And we did it. And my dad, like the first one, and she goes like, oh, my dad chucked that egg at my face like hard, and I was like, it was great. The video turned out great. It was amazing. But I was just like,
is that the take that you used?
Yeah, that is the take. I was like, ah, like, and that was like true reaction. I was like, I was Josie Grossi in that moment.
Did you have a bruise?
I had like a little cut from the egg, and he felt really bad. He was just like, whatever. But I was like, wow, like, and it was during the pandemic, so like we were like all laughing so hard. And
yeah, like where like else the are you front gonna go?
Yard. Yeah. And yeah, so I did that prom one. I just did one recently of when she's like, yikes, bikes. That rhymes. And then I want to do the prom one soon because Jessica Alba, that is like one of my favorite line readings ever, is when she's like, you so do not deserve to be prom queen. And it's like, yeah, so that.
I love her so much. I don't think anybody's given a Drew Barrymore answer, and she is 1,000% a person that not only turned us gay, but I would say ushered us into the homosexual era, because you know that she has never once been mean to a gay person.
Mm-mm. I know that for a fact. I'll stand by that for sure.
And if she was, she was doing it as a bit, and then she laughed, and then they held hands and ran into the rain.
Exactly.
I'm raising a glass to Drew Barrymore.
Yes. Cheers.
Clink. Well, listen, there's so many cultural touchstones, references. However, the one we have not discussed, I wanted to make sure, is the hot chick, which I bring it up because selfishly, I need to give it the respect it's due, because I talk way too much about a certain Whoopi Goldberg film, and I don't talk enough about Rachel McAdams, Rob Schneider, but hey, he lands the plane, Anna Faris, Tia and Tamara Mowry.
Yeah.
Who else is, I mean, that movie, it's...
The hot boyfriend. Who's the hot boyfriend?
Matthew Lawrence.
Yes, Lawrence.
But to your point about like how you dropped it gorgeous, there's a lot you cannot recreate.
Yeah.
The hot chick has a lot of problematic shit.
For sure.
But A, we didn't know it back then. And B, what a fucking gay ass movie.
It's so good. I mean, I want to do so bad the bleachers when it's like, it's me, Jessica. Ugh. And
it's
like
me, Jessica.
And your teeth were brown.
I'm in here. Or boys are cheats and liars.
Yeah.
It's such a big disgrace. You know, I can still do the whole fucking thing. It's do we know if Rob Schneider is problematic these days? I would assume yes, but I don't know.
I mean, I think maybe a lot of the jokes back then, yes, now will be considered that, but I don't know if I've heard like that he is. I hope he's not.
Yeah, I don't know. Fox News, Rob Schneider pokes fun at pilot diversity push. Quote, not the best pilots you can find. It's probably just a stand-up bit that Fox is trying to... Wow, who knew Rob Schneider was going to be in such... There's so many... These are like so many headlines. Apparently, there's going to be The Animal 2.
Work.
He takes aim at woke culture. Okay, the Fox is doing a lot of coverage, so that makes me nervous. But listen, we'll give Robbie the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, well, we're hoping. We're hoping for you.
Well, now I'm curious about if you were going to give an answer for character actresses in today's age, was that you leaning towards Jennifer Kuhl, or was it going elsewhere?
I was
going
to say right now who I like connect the most with, that I like am so excited to see where she goes, is Aubrey Plaza. Like,
oh my god,
right?
Yes.
But yes.
Well, by the way, that's such a brilliant answer, because she is in this era of playing, sure, it's character-y, but it's also not ingenue, but I think she's, you know, giving us sometimes romantic interest, but the longer her career goes, you know she's going to be doing some like Angelica Houston type roles, and like even Glenn Close. Like, I feel like she's going to just be like Helena Bonham Carter, even. Like, I feel like she's going to become weirder and weirder and better and better.
Yeah, like she has, like, White Lotus was amazing, and so is Emily the Criminal. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, from seeing, you know, all, like, being such a fan of Parks and Rec, and Emily, is it Emily Goes West or Ingrid Goes West?
Ingrid Goes West is one of our faves.
So, like, she has that, like, sense of herself and keeps it even playing those, like, ingenue kind of roles. Like, there are moments where you're just like, oh, it's there, like it's not like gone. And
well, and Ingrid
Goes, I'm excited.
Ingrid Goes West
does.
Is such a good reference too, because she is a fucking psycho in that movie. I mean, like, but you still have to believe that she could be friends with someone like Elizabeth Olsen and kind of have that like every girl mentality, but she's still clearly a freak show,
right?
Which in a way, I think a lot of times as queer people, we especially growing up, had to hide our freak showiness. Mm. And she is so good at letting it fly, but also showing us all those colors.
Yeah.
You also interviewed my gals from book club. And
yes.
I don't even have a question. I just want to state that as a fact and say thank you for your service. And now the question is, what did you feel when you got the email? How did it come about?
Yeah, I was shook. Like, and I also didn't know if it was happening for like a month or two. Like, and I had seen book club And I had loved Book Club. I like love those movies. Like I know you said 80 for Brady the other day. Like I love that.
Of course.
Like I love just icons being together.
Well, if I may give a quick, I don't know if he listens, but a new friend of mine who was at the show, I shaded 80 for Brady a little bit in the KS Live show. He choreographed that movie and he gave me some sass after the show. So Ryan, thank you for your service as well. Love the movie. Go on.
Yeah, and when I was confirmed, I was like freaking out. And my mom too was like, oh my gosh. And we were just like, I had gone that week just like watching movies with all of them in it. And I was just like so excited. And even that day, like I got to do it on my actual birthday.
I saw that and they all sang you happy birthday.
Yes, and they sang me happy birthday. It was at first, I was like so excited, and I don't know how anyone could not be. So I think like a lot of times when I get like excited or nervous, I do like it is outward. Like I'm like, oh my gosh, like
yeah.
Or I like trip up on my words or anything like that. And I had said it was my birthday, and then Candace Bergen, actually I had this shirt on that didn't have buttons on the sleeve. So it was kind of like, I don't know what the style is, but it was like this. Uh-huh. It was kind of like a bigger sleeve, and I had this like sleeveless jacket on. I thought I was serving, you know, fashion. I was kind of going for Diane Keaton because she wasn't able to be there. So I was like filling that seat kind of. And at the beginning, I sat down and of course, like so excited, so nervous. And she was like, oh, your sleeves are really distracting. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like I can roll them up for you. And she was like, are there buttons? And I was like, oh no, like it's just kind of like the way it is. And she's like, oh, the style. And they're like, yeah, he's 29. Like I had said, I was turning 29. And they were like, oh, he's 29. It's probably the fashion of it all. And I was kind of like laughing, but I was like, do you want me to roll it up? And she was like, no, it's okay. And I watch back and the sleeves don't really look amazing. Like they look better. She was definitely right, but they look better like standing up. It's kind of like that kind of like maybe an app, like a cocktail party
kind of shirt.
But like sitting down, like holding.
It's hard to clothe yourself for a seated interview. It's a different game.
It is. And that honestly was my first one. So I was like,
For that to be anyone's first one, where you're sitting in front of Jane Fonda, Candace Bergen, and Mary Steenburgen, hello.
And then after the interview, they sang, and Mary Steenburgen was like, your shirt actually grew on me, like during the interview. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. And I said, I was like, Candace? And she was like, no.
God, I love to hear
like,
that.
And I was like, amazing.
I love to hear that like, Candace is dragging you. The library is open and she will not change her mind.
I put it in that video, but Jane Fonda is like, you're so peppy. And Candace goes, he's on coke.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what? I kind of was like, what? Like, I was like, no, how could I not be? Because like, I'm in front of you three like icons. Like, I was just like, so overstimulated.
Just like, I would
enjoyed.
Are you kidding me? They would say for me it wasn't coke. They'd think I was on insert fentanyl. I mean, that's horrible. Like insert like whatever it's like the drug above coke. I would shit myself if I sorry, yeah. let me manifest. I will shit myself when I get to interview for Book Club 3.
Yeah. It's happening.
It's happening. I got to go to a screening for 2. I think for 3, I will do a junket, and then I will play the role of the book in 4.
Work. Manifest.
Well, listen, this is a devastating time for me to end this interview because you are a king, a queen of all things. But I have to ask you the final podcast question, which is, Julian Brzezinski, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
Ghost?
Great answer. You said it with a question mark, but I'm going to put it.
Oh, no. Sorry. Sister Act 2.
That's the more correct answer.
Yeah, sorry.
And that is the more correct answer. No, you found it eventually. I never want to cajole or force anyone into a Sister Act 2 answer, but you have moved up a notch in my book. Julian, thank you for coming on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Thank you for coming on That's a Gay Ass Live Show as one of our himbos of the night. And Tell me now, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Julian Cookies, on TikTok at Julian Berzinski, on YouTube, Julian Berzinski. And yeah.
And if you are a single Jewish man who wants to talk first at a party, hit me up and then I will set you up on your first date.
Yeah, my DMs are open as well.
Hello, yeah, Verse King. Eric. Thank you for coming on. You're a star, and I will see you soon. I know it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Anytime.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.